Good morning. It's good to see you all. I am real excited about what is coming this month. I know we've already started this month off with evangelism and talking about the local work, and we're going to continue doing that this morning. But I just wanted to encourage you to come and next week and the week after and the week after that, as we continue encouraging one another to participate in what is already taking place in other places and learn about what's going on. Sometimes we get really wrapped up with our own personal life that we forget that there's life going on around us. And this is a way for us to be reminded of that and in some ways participate in that and help get the gospel out into the world. And so we're going to continue with the local part of evangelism and talk about that. This will be our last lesson for that, and then Greg will take over next week. But I want us to turn to Matthew 13 for a little bit, and we're going to spend some time here this morning talking about the seed. You might remember this parable in Jesus's kingdom parables. Some people call it the kingdom of the sower. Some people call it the kingdom of the soil. It just depends on your Bible version or maybe where your focus is when you read these parables. But I really just want to read the parable itself, talk a little bit about parables, and then I would like to dig into Jesus's explanation of the parable and then make some application to that. So if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 3, Matthew chapter 13. And it says, Jesus spoke many things to them in parables. And then this is the parable he spoke. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up because they had no depth of soil. And then in verse 6, but when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on the ground, on the good soil, excuse me, and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, just thinking about that parable, I know we have some ideas of what these might mean, and we're accustomed to preachers getting up and using sermon illustrations, you know, and to clarify the message. And I just want you to consider for a moment how the disciples responded to Jesus's use of parables when talking about such an important topic. In fact, in verse 10, it tells us when they ask him, why do you speak these things in parables, right? I mean, they understand the importance of the message, but they want to know, what's the deal, Jesus? I mean, why are you choosing this means of communication? Why don't you find something that's a little more easy for people to understand? You know, why don't you soft serve it to them and say, here, this is so much easier. This is easy. Let me explain it to you. And they didn't see these parables as sermon illustrations, but they saw these as riddles. They felt like Jesus wasn't being clear enough. They felt like Jesus wasn't communicating to the people in the way that they thought he should be communicating to the people. Now, he chose to communicate this way. And the reason he chose, he's going to kind of reveal that here in just a little bit, but the reason he chose to communicate is because of Israel's history. It has a lot to do with Israel's history. And it has a lot to do with his ministry up to this point as well, but Israel has had a history of having prophet after prophet after prophet go to them and speak God's word to them, and they would harden their hearts and not listen, even when the prophet was saying and speaking in very plain language. They would not listen to God's prophet. So when Jesus gets up and he starts speaking in parables, he's going to quote from Isaiah chapter 6. So take a look at that for just a moment. This is in verse 14, Matthew 13, but it's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 6. And Jesus says this, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. And then this is just an indication that things haven't changed much, right? I mean, people are hearing, but they're not really understanding. They're seeing, but they don't really see. They have ears, but they're not really using them. There's something about them that is keeping them from hearing the words of God. And prophets were frustrated. They were frustrated to the point, like in Isaiah's prophecy and in Jeremiah, when we read about Jeremiah, that they get tired. They get weary of this. They even call out to God and say things like, "Lord, how long must I continue speaking to this obstinate people? How long do I continue saying the same thing over and over and over?" And they do not listen. And that's where this is coming from. And so when Jesus gets up, he says these things in parables. And he does it in such a way that people have to ask. People have to inquire. People have to dig a little bit deeper. If they really want to know, they're going to find out. But if they don't really want to know, then they're not even going to listen. That would be true if Jesus got up there and just said it as clear as day and spoke the words of truth to them. They wouldn't listen. Jesus can get up there and speak in parables. He can speak in riddles, and they won't listen. It doesn't change anything. The message wasn't the problem. The method wasn't the problem. It was the fact that the people were not willing to listen to the words of Jesus. And that was true in Isaiah's day, and that's true in Jesus' day. And folks, that's true in our day too. There are people who just will not listen. So I want you to think about that. But look at how Jesus explains this parable. And this really helps us to understand more about why Jesus spoke this way, but also how we as the church need to respond as we take the gospel out to people around the world. So this is Jesus' explanation after his disciples question him about his motives and his methods. He says in verse 18, he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road." So this first one is talking about a person who has heard the words of the kingdom, and it has gone into them, right? That's the imagery, that has made it into their thinking, into their mind. It has gone down to the heart. It has been planted. The word of the kingdom has been planted, but it's not going to do anything. It's kind of like throwing seed on hard ground, or throwing seed on a rock, and birds come down and swoop up and take it away. And Jesus says that what happens to a person like that, who has a hard heart, a heart that is so hard that the word just will not penetrate, it will not do anything, it's just going to sit there on the surface, is the evil one, right? The devil. He's going to take advantage of that. And he's going to come along and he's going to snatch that seed up, and it's not going to do anything for the person because they have hardened their hearts to the words of God. They have not prepared their hearts to receive the message. And the evil one will take advantage of that and steal away the word. Look at the next one. That's the first soil, right? So think of soil and heart together. A person's heart is the soil in which Jesus is talking about. In verse 20, he says, "The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word. He immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he falls away." So he's saying, you know, there will be some who, you know, their heart is somewhat soft. There's something there. And then the seed's going to land there, and it's going to begin to grow, but not enough. It's not, there's not going to be enough root there to do much good. In fact, they will receive it with joy. They will understand what they're hearing. The seed will land on their heart, and it'll begin to germinate. But then, all of a sudden, when persecution and affliction arise because of that word that has been planted on their heart, they're going to fall away. They're not going to stick to it. They're not going to stick around because there's not enough root there to keep them grounded in the truth, they're going to fall away. Even though they received it with joy at first, they will fall away at the first sign of persecution, the first sign of distress, and they will not last, Jesus tells us. Now, he also gives us a third soil, and this is the third one. He says this in verse 22, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You know, I like to think about these people as those who fake religion. They fake it, right? And they've received the word. They were off to a relatively good start. They get a move on things, but the world just won't allow that plant to grow. Something is keeping the plant from growing. Something is keeping that seed from going any further than a small little plant. And so herein lies a person. They've received the word. It has begun to grow in their hearts. There's roots, but something chokes it out and keeps it from growing. And these kind of people, you would think of them as those who are off to a good start in their Christian walk, but then they just, nothing after that. It just kind of went back into the world and continue living worldly lives and continue doing things the way they've always done. They began the growing process, but they didn't make it. But look what he says. This is the reason they didn't make it. They didn't make it past that level. They didn't make it into maturity because there were certain things. There was worry in their life. And they worried about life. And it choked out the growth of that seed. There was so much worry that it choked out the seed. Right? The deceitfulness of wealth. They pursued wealth and they were looking for more and trying to get more and trying to get wealthy. And it was deceitful. It deceived them into thinking that that's the purpose of life. And that choked the word. It kept it from growing into maturity. So we probably know people like this. And we may have even been people like this at one time, where we received the word and it began to grow, but we've just allowed things to come into our life, and it has kept us from growing into maturity. And we just need to be mindful, as Jesus explains this parable, that there are people out there like this. There are people out there who have not prepared their hearts. There are people out there that you're going to talk to, that you're going to preach to, that you're going to present the message to. And the seed's going to go in, and it's going to go into the ear, it's going to go into the mind, it's going to fall on the heart. But it's not always going to fall on good soil. It's not always going to take root. It's not always going to germinate. It's not always going to grow and continue to grow. That there are times when people have allowed things to get in the way and prevent the seed from actually doing what it needs to do. And then the seed or the word of the kingdom gets stopped. Right? Not because the word was bad, and not because the message was bad, and not because the messenger did a bad job. None of that's true. But it has all to do with the person receiving. The recipient wasn't ready. The recipient didn't prepare their heart. The recipient had a hard heart. The recipient had problems that they didn't deal with. Or the recipient allowed things to enter into their life after having received the word. And all of that is going to contribute to how that person will continue in the faith, whether they will be fruitful or whether they will be choked out before they can even get a good start. Now, Jesus does give hope, right? Because, I mean, at this point we're thinking, oh, man, this is almost sounds hopeless. I mean, who are we going to find that has a good heart? You know, what are we going to do with all these problems? How are we going to get these people to receive the word? How are we going to bring people up into maturity? Well, Jesus has hope for us because he says there is another soil. And I would argue that he's really talking about his disciples here, although they do need some work, right? But his disciples are those who really want to know God's word. His disciples are those who, when they hear Jesus's parables, they're not going to be distressed. They're not going to be dismayed. They're not going to be so confused that they're just going to leave. They're going to ask Jesus questions. They're going to say, "Jesus, explain this. I want to know." And that's really all it takes, isn't it? just for somebody to stop and say, I want to know. Right now, I'm very confused. Right now, it's seemingly complicated. Right now, I don't understand, but I want to know. As an example of a heart that desires to have the seed implanted and grow into maturity. And Jesus says this, there is this fourth soil, another heart out there. And look what he says about it. Verse 23, and the one whom the seed has sown on good soil, this is a man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And it's really simple what he's trying to tell us. He says, when that seed, now we didn't change messengers and we didn't change the seed. Those are all constants. That never changes, right? I mean, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Jesus, whether it's the church, I mean, we have God's representatives sowing the seed into the hearts of humanity. So that really hasn't changed. The message really hasn't changed. It's still God's kingdom, God's rule and reign coming into the world through the Messiah, through Jesus, into the lives of the human family. And it's still the same message. But what has changed is the heart, right? And Jesus says there will be some out there that have good and honest hearts. They have worked. They have desired to do what's right. They have purposed in their mind and their heart to do good and to look for better things. These are people who have become disgusted with the world, who've looked at the injustice in the world and they've said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. There's got to be something better out there than this. And then they come to find, in this case, Jesus, and they listen to him teach, and they say, that's it. That guy right there has got it figured out. That's what I want. That's what I've been looking for. Not what everybody else has been peddling, not what the Jews have been trying to push on me, and not what the Romans have been trying to bring about as a world kind of economy. That I don't want any of that. That doesn't bring about the equity that Jesus brings about. That doesn't bring about the fairness and the justice that I'm looking for. But Jesus speaking about the kingdom, this is what it needs to be. And that kind of person receives this word in an honest heart. And Jesus says, it will produce fruit. It will produce fruit. Now, granted, many of those who heard Jesus, many of those in Jesus' day who listened to him speak would just walk away. Right? They just leave. You know, they would walk away. They'd go back to their jobs. They'd go back to their homes. They'd go back to their families. They'd go back to their old life. And they wouldn't even think about it again. Unchanged by the word they just heard, because the seed just fell on the wrong kind of heart. They refused to make that change. But there are some who will hear and will respond positively to the word. Now, this parable, and the reason I mentioned this before, that sometimes people call it the parable of the sower, some people call it the parable of the soil. I have been leaning more towards the parable of the soil, because it doesn't really have a lot to do with the sower. If you notice, the sower is well, for all intents and purposes, we might think, that guy's a horrible farmer, right? I mean, he's just grabbing seed and chunking it all over the place. I mean, he throws some on the road, and he gets some on the rocks, and he throws some in the thorns. You know, I mean, you would think that this guy would take the time to prepare the soil. That's not the point, is it? The point is that Jesus is the sower in this parable. Isaiah was the sower. Jesus is the sower. And the soil is the hearts of people. And they're not being stingy at all. They're not sitting, even though Jesus knows the hearts of the people, he doesn't selectively choose certain people. He didn't say, oh, that one's got a good, honest heart. I'm going to put a little seed over there. No, he throws that seed on every heart. He throws that seed on every person, even if Jesus, knowing the hearts of the people, knows that their heart is hard, it's not going to stop him from throwing the seed on the heart of the person. That's the point. The seed is going to be scattered, and it's going to be scattered for every person, whether hard-hearted or tender-hearted, not selectively, but generously. God will scatter the seed to all people. God will scatter the seed everywhere. Jesus scattered the seed. Isaiah scattered the seed. The church today scatters the seed of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, on every heart that we come in contact with, right? But then again, the focus is not on the sower. What's the focus on? The soil. That's the focus. The focus is on the soil. This is where we need to be. This is what we need to be thinking about. These are the kinds of questions we need to be asking. I want you to think about this question this morning as we were talking about this. And I know we're going to get into the evangelism side of this, but for right now, you need to ask yourself this question. I need to ask myself this question. Have you prepared your heart to receive the word of the kingdom? Right? Have you prepared your heart? Have I prepared my heart? Have I readied myself to receive the word of the kingdom? Or have I hardened my heart so that the seed cannot penetrate? One thing that we notice, obviously, God is going to work on the hearts of people through his love and generosity and the gospel, and all those things are true. We know that. But it's still the responsibility of the individual to prepare their heart to receive the kingdom word. It is still the individual's responsibility to prepare their heart. So you'd have to ask, if we're reading this parable, not so much about other people, but about oneself. What am I doing? What is my heart like? What have I allowed to enter into my life that's going to keep the seed from growing? When that word of the kingdom comes into my ears and it falls on my heart, what kind of heart is it falling on? Have I hardened my heart? Is a seed falling beside the road? Have I softened it just, you know, a little bit, and I still haven't taken the time to pull all the rocks, and I still got some issues, but I kind of tilled it up a little bit. Has the seed fallen in rocky places? Right? Have I not taken the time to dig up all the weeds? And I haven't, by the way, in my yard, so just so you know. I have weeds in my backyard, and Amanda's been trying to get on to me about that. But, hey, they're big, you know, and I've got allergies, so, you know, I don't want to cut them down. But nonetheless, we have weeds, and have I taken the time for my heart to pull up the weeds and remove the thorns and take away the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth? Have I done that? Have I done that? Not has somebody else done that. Not has God done that. Not has, you know, Sean gotten up and preached enough to where I felt like I was guilted into do it. No. Have you taken the time to prepare your heart so that the word of the kingdom, the seed of the kingdom, will fall and grow and mature and grow into something that is great? You know, there's no doubt in my mind, okay, that Jesus, that God is working through Jesus to soften the hearts of men. I don't have any doubts about that. When people think about the cross, when Jesus spoke about the cross, he tells the people, his disciples, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I'm trying not to break that. It's expensive. I will draw all men to myself. Right? So Jesus recognizes that the cross draws people. The cross softens our heart. As we hear the gospel and we hear it taught that Jesus came into the world as a man, and he successfully lived life as a man without sin, and he died as a sinner so that I might have life and freedom through Jesus, that I might become the righteousness of God through him, that softens my heart and makes it to where the word of the kingdom has a place to germinate and to grow and to mature. But it still is about me doing the due diligence, listening and paying attention and studying and getting rid of all those things in my life that are going to keep the heart from being fertile with the seed. It's a responsibility of the recipient to prepare their heart. Now, I want you to think about a couple other passages. James chapter 1. James talks about this. James talks about this. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore," listen, "therefore put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." In verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. James is using the same principle. He's saying, you know, if you, the word has already been implanted in the Christian's heart, it's already begun to grow. And James says to Christians, he said, what you need to do now is you need to put away the filthiness. You need to put away the rampant wickedness. You need to put away the anger. And you need to continue to receive the word. But prepare yourself. Prepare your heart so the seed will have a good place to grow and mature. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter also talks about this. He says, having purified your soul by your obedience to the truth. Right? That's how it begins. It's your obedience. It's your response. For sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Right? It's about loving one another earnestly. Right? It's about the obedience to the truth. It's about putting away filthiness and wickedness and things of this world. It's about not allowing persecution to hinder us and hurt us. It's about not allowing the pursuit of stuff get in the way of the growth of the kingdom seed which is within us. It's about doing the due diligence to make sure our hearts are prepared to receive the word. It's really up to me. It's up to me. And people don't always like that. You know, people always say, well, it's not up to you at all. That God does all the work. And you just need to be grateful for God's grace. Well, yes, that's true too. But God expects of me from these passages and others that I have to respond to that. I have to do my due diligence to make sure that what God has accomplished through his son in me will have a productive chance. And that's me. I have to do that. Right? In the end of the day, I can never take credit. I can never say to myself, well, I just did a really good job and I was just such a good person. I was so obedient that God owes me. I can never say that. But what I should be saying is because of what Jesus did, because of what God did, I owe it to him to do whatever it takes to make sure that my life is a vessel, that my life is good soil, that my heart is prepared so that the word that he has provided is going to have a good place to grow and mature into something that's productive for him and not for me. And therein lies the difference. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about what he wants me to do. It's about his word. It's about being productive in all things. So, and then again, what does that have to do with evangelism, right? We've been talking about us. We've been talking about what we do and how we prepare our hearts. And the answer to that question is everything. It's everything. What does this have to do with evangelism? Everything. Folks, if you are not preparing your heart so that the word of God is not growing and maturing, what makes you think that you're going to be able to go out into the world and encourage others to receive the word? If you're not doing it, what makes you think you can teach others? If you're not living it, what kind of example are you setting for others? If you have not committed yourself to making your heart good and doing your due diligence, then your hope of going out encouraging somebody else to do that, well, it doesn't make sense. So what does it have to do with evangelism? Everything. You need to be doing what you are trying to get other people to do. You need to be doing the work. You need to be obedient. You need to be learning God's word. You need to be getting stuff out of your life so that you can go and be those who scatter that seed into other people's hearts, preparing their hearts day by day as they work with you and they live with you and they see you and they see the change in your life and they begin to question, they begin to ask, and they have a changed life because of you. And if you're not doing that, your effectiveness has been greatly reduced. So that's step number one, is making sure you're doing the work. You're making sure that you're preparing your heart so that you can plant the seed in the heart of another person. And I also want you to think about this. The master evangelist. I mean, who is better at this than Jesus? Who is better at this than Jesus? To go into all the world and make disciples for himself, right? And even he is pointing out to his disciples, who are kind of discouraged, I think, at this point. They're kind of thinking, you know, Jesus, seriously, people are leaving. You're not bringing everybody in. You know, the influential people, the Pharisees, they don't like you. They want to kill you. You know, the Sadducees, I don't know what they want. You know, people don't like you. People don't like what you're saying. You're not doing a very good job of influencing people because people are leaving. And Jesus is saying, that's not the point. It's not about what Jesus is doing. It's about what they are doing with what Jesus is doing. But that's true in our life too. It's not about what Jesus is doing because he's doing everything perfectly. He's doing everything better than we can ever imagine. He's being the ultimate master evangelist of the kingdom of God, more so than we can ever imagine. He's living it every single day. He's influencing people every day with his life. He is living the kingdom. And people are still leaving. And people are still not listening to him. And people are still rejecting his word. And so Jesus is explaining to his disciples, it's not about winning everybody. It's not about bringing everybody in. It's not about bringing the Pharisees and bringing the Sadducees and becoming the most popular person in Jerusalem. It's about people and receiving the word. And the reality is, Jesus says, the seed will not always fall on the right heart. And it's their fault. It's my fault. It's your fault for not doing your due diligence in preparing yourself to receive the word of God. Folks, I find that encouraging, yet a little frightful. I find it encouraging because I realize, you know, it's not my responsibility to win everybody over. It's not my responsibility to be the best person to teach somebody or to speak the right thing or to say it the right way or to be the ultimate evangelist. We've already got one of those. His name's Jesus. We don't have to do that. It's not about that at all. And if somebody decides they don't want to pursue that, it's not my fault. I can't look at myself and say, Sean, you didn't say it right. You didn't present it well. That's why they left. But it helps me to recognize that not all people are going to receive the word of the kingdom. And that's okay. I have to be okay with that. Jesus had to be okay with that. Right? We have to recognize that that is what's going to happen. That's what happened with Jesus. That's what's going to happen with us. All we need to do is scatter the word. All we need to do is preach the gospel. All we need to do is live out the gospel every single day and be generous with our scattering and throw it upon the hard hearts, throw it upon the rocky hearts, throw it in the thorns, throw it on the good soil. Wherever we can, we throw the gospel of the kingdom of God wherever we go. And if it takes root, we glorify God for the growth that comes through that. That's our responsibility. That's what it has to do with evangelism. Sometimes we feel like, well, you know, if I knew more, if I was better at this, if I had all the answers, if I can go to, you know, the right Bible verse and quote that and say, well, this is what the Bible says, that then I'm going to start becoming an effective evangelist. Then I'm going to reach my family. Then I'm going to reach out to my friends. Then I'm going to reach out to my coworkers. Folks, that's never going to happen. There will always be questions that come up. There will always be things where you think, man, I wish I knew more about that. There will always be a time when you feel like you were not the right person for the job. But if you're there and the opportunity is there, then who are you to question God in putting you there? At that time, to speak those words to that person because you cannot judge their heart. And you do not know what kind of soil that seed is going to fall on. Only God will do that. And lastly, we have to have faith. Folks, we have to have faith that the seed will eventually fall on good soil. It will. Not if we don't scatter, right? I mean, if we don't go out there and teach and do and scatter it, of course, it's not going to. Not from us, anyway. But we have to have faith that if we're being generous with our scattering of the seed, that the seed will eventually fall on good soil, and that there will be those who hear the word, understand the word, and who bear fruit and bring forth 100-fold and 60 and some 30, right? We have to have faith in the word of God to grow in the hearts of people who have prepared their hearts to receive the word of God. And as any farmer will tell you, it's not about throwing a few seeds and expecting them all to grow. It's about going and preparing the soil. Sometimes that's required. Sometimes we prepare the soil. It's about scattering generously, knowing full well that not all seeds are going to germinate, but we need to spread the seed. We need to have faith in the power of the gospel to save the people who hear it. So if there's anybody here this morning, maybe you've started that process, maybe the seed has made its way into your heart, and for a while you received it with joy, but you've just let things choke it out. And it has made you an ineffective Christian, and it's made you an ineffective evangelist, and it has really hindered your walk with God. This is a good time for you to do the due diligence, to get that out of your life and allow the seed to grow into maturity. Or maybe the seed has never truly penetrated, and this is that opportunity for the gospel to enter your heart and to grow into maturity. And that it is expressed by us obeying the gospel and being baptized into Jesus. So if there's anybody who has any needs this morning, if they would come forward as we stand and as we sing.